Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The picture that's been painted about Aziz, his intentions, who he is as a person, I mean, quite frankly, it's bull****. And it's unfair to the individual. It's unfair to the organization. I mean, we love everything about Aziz Alshaier, what he means to this team, what he brings to this team.
That is Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, at his press conference this afternoon after Aziz Alshaier, Houston Texans linebacker, was suspended 3 games by the NFL. Here is a statement. I'm getting older, so I have to bring this computer a little bit more closely to me.
I wasn't going to say anything until you mentioned it.
I'm butchering the English language. I have a tough time reading. Here is the statement from the NFL. Aziz Alshaier of the Houston Texans has been suspended without pay for 3 games for repeated violations of rules intended to protect the health and safety of players and promote sportsmanship. Promoting sportsmanship? Including during Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyan issued the suspension. Good to see that the NFL is rewarding the dirtiest players in its history with fancy jobs and fancy titles. A lot like the OSS of the United States with how they handled, you know, the old Iron Curtain. At the end of World War II, brought some Nazis into the fold of what would become the CIA. But hey, that's neither here nor there. In a letter to Alshaier, Runyan, who noted that Alshaier has had multiple offenses for personal fouls and sportsmanship-related rules violations in recent seasons, wrote this, quote, "During your game against the Jacksonville Jaguars December 1st, with 4:20 remaining in the second quarter, you were involved in a play that the league considers unacceptable and a serious violation of the playing rules. Video shows you striking the head, neck area of Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence after he clearly goes down in a feet-first slide." Well, actually, it was the upper shoulder, neck area, but hey. "You led with your forearm and helmet." I think he led with his forearm. "And delivered a forceful blow to the head, neck," again, upper shoulder, breastplate, "of your opponent when you had time and space to avoid such contact. After the illegal hit, you proceeded to engage in a brawl, which you escalated when you pulled an opponent down to the ground by his face mask. After the referee announced that you were disqualified for the hit and your unsportsmanlike acts, you removed your helmet and re-engaged with your opponent while walking down and across the field, which started another physical confrontation near the end zone. Your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football," oh, what an ass, "and all those who play, coach, and enjoy watching it is troubling and does not reflect the core values of the NFL. Your continued disregard for NFL playing rules puts the health and safety of both you and your opponents in jeopardy and will not be tolerated." Alshaier may appeal the suspension. Any appeal will be heard and decided by either Derek Brooks, Ramon Foster, Kevin Mawai, or Jordy Nelson, the hearing officers jointly appointed and compensated by the NFL and NFLPA.
Repeat offender, never been ejected, never been suspended. He's a repeat offender.
He has done multiple things this year, and which is why I have called it habitual line stepping. It is habitual line stepping. He is habitually stepping over the line of what can and cannot be done. He punched a player on the sideline.
Yeah.
He did hit Caleb Williams close to the sideline. He hit Tony Pollard out of bounds. He hit Trevor Lawrence. He once put his hand on Tom Brady's neck. There are enough things where in a court of law, the NFL can throw the hammer at him theoretically.
Totally, like you're totally right, Paul. Like he is. There's enough there, and that's so the statements where I like that's like the sportsmanship. The fact that he mentioned what two or three times there.
The last paragraph of John Runyon,
yeah,
the second dirtiest player in the NFL in 2006. That annoys me the most. You were annoyed most, Joe, in this statement by after the illegal hit, wrote Runyon, you proceeded to engage in a brawl, which you escalated when you pulled an opponent down to the ground by his face mask. It does sound like Runyon is saying you should have taken your beating there.
Yeah, it's just such holier than thou, just garbage. Like that's where it to me, like the it feels like a majority of that statement is about what happened after the play itself. And it's such a problem with they kept talking about sportsmanship and care and what people are watching. It's just like it's, I don't know if they're trying to make an example out of him because of the fight that occurred. And the fight deserves to be punished for. Like he should have, we talked about it yesterday. He should have left the field. The Texans did a poor job not getting Aziz out of there. I mean, D'Amico's out there trying to calm him down. They should have got him out of that situation because it could have escalated in the way that it did, and they could have prevented that. But and I think that's why you saw D'Amico yesterday mention that the Jaguars really started it because they did because he's defending his guy. Like, what's he supposed to do? Like, just stand there and get his ass kicked? That's not really how
it works. For John Runyon, it seems, yeah. Yes. John Runyon would have been the one doing the ass kicking, by the way, in that situation, because he would have been the offensive lineman to go over there and probably would have launched forward with his head like a missile, like a video that went viral of him showed today. That's just one moment of Runyon being dirty. I'm sure there are many others that one could find. Nick Caserio was pissed off at his press conference today, the Houston Texans GM State of the Union, which always takes place at the bye week, this one late. I did not know that Nick Caserio had it in him to call the characterization of Aziz Alshaair bull bleep. He took most issue with the lack of consistency from the league. Here's Nick.
I think the most important thing is just the health and well-being of Trevor. You know, fortunately, he's going to be okay, so it's an unfortunate playing situation. I think one of the biggest issues that we sort of take umbrage with, I would say, as a team and organizationally, is a picture that's been painted of Aziz. Quite frankly, it's unfair. And I'd say one of the biggest issues that, and I probably speak for a lot of teams, not only the Houston Texans, but I think that's all teams ask for is consistency from the league. And I'd say in this situation, I mean, quite frankly, there's no consistency at all relative to the level of discipline that's been handed down.
And that's where I think he's the most spot on is the NFL just, and this has been a problem for the NFL since Roger Goodell took over and before Roger Goodell. They don't have clear guidelines about what is and is not allowed in their sport, whether it's an on-the-field action or an off-the-field action, and they just pick and choose how they want to hand out suspensions. And it's judge, jury, executioner, basically, from Roger Goodell, where I guess he didn't lay out this punishment, John Runyon did, and Goodell won't even hear it, which is good. Like, I'm glad the NFLPA finally got their head out of their ass and got them to remove that from the bylaws of the NFL that Goodell cannot handle all of this stuff. You have to have impartial parties, supposedly impartial parties, about this. But consistency is what matters. So now what matters to me is that if this is the action you're going to take, then the next time a quarterback takes a sliding hit, that player should auto-eject and be suspended for at least one game. And if there's no fight, just keep it at one game. So if that's the rules you want to play by, then those are the rules you're going to call.
It almost sounds like the targeting rule in college football, what you're proposing.
Yes. I'm just saying, it's stupid. It shouldn't be. Look at Twitter, okay? Richard Sherman, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're seeing all these guys come. Joe Thomas, they're all saying the same thing. Is the hit excessive? Yes. But the quarterback sliding is kind of what starts this problem, is because it's almost impossible to have 3/4 of a second to make this quick of a decision to not do that. People are pointing out random incidents where a player jumps over, you know, a quarterback as he's sliding. But if you look at the starting points of those plays, often they're much farther back and they have more time to make that decision. Just be consistent. If this is going to be the rule, then enforce it. If CJ gets hit like this, then I now expect that player to be suspended. No questions asked. Forget habitual line stepping. And that's what's stupid about this, is that why does it have to be a line stepper to get punished like this? That's why it's all a crock of garbage when they talk about player safety. Why does it have to be someone does it multiple times? You want to send a message? Well, then do it on the first time. Send your message.
Yeah, that part of it would make things a lot easier. You have a zero tolerance policy, then people are going to stop doing it right away. But I think the problem is that the league realizes that a lot of these plays are bang-bang and very difficult for defenders because of the rules that they created. Here is more Nick Caserio defending Azeez Al-Shaair, who was suspended by the NFL for 3 games today.
We're going to say Azeez Al-Shaair, who nobody embodies our program more than Azeez, what he's about, what he's been through. You all know his story. There's not a more selfless individual, more about the team, who's earned the respects, that represents everything that we want this program to be about. I mean, this morning he was at a United Way event. So we're talking about some of the commentary that has been made about his character, about the person that he is, about what his intentions are, from people that, quite frankly, don't know anything about Azeez Al-Shaair. Okay? And for the league to make some of the commentary that they made about lack of sportsmanship, lack of coachability, lack of paying attention to the rules, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. So I think the big thing from our – and talk about a player who's never been suspended, never been ejected. So now we're saying that he's going to be suspended for 3 games?
He went for about 12 to 13 minutes on Azeez Al-Shaair, and he said more than he has ever said. And this is a man of many words with very little substance to those words. He would be a great filibuster in Congress, and I have believed that he is a robot. I don't think he has aged a day since I saw him in a program for the New England Patriots back in 2002 at Gillette Stadium. I mean, this guy's been with the organization for in the NFL for a while. He looks exactly the same. Is he a T-1000? I don't know. I don't know if he is a metal skeleton with human skin on top. What I do know is he was pissed. And I kind of like, even if I don't necessarily agree entirely with the defense, I like this bad boys, F the NFL, Texans brand. I think there's something here. They're no longer Boy Scouts. I think it's fun. I think it's fun. It's fun to be the bad guy. We're used to it with the Astros.
Yeah.
Maybe the Texans being the bad boys are the thing that makes a city that collectively finds them boring to buy in.
I mean, maybe it's just the path we're headed down. How many fights did the Rockets get in last year? Like, maybe Houston just became the bad boy of sports. That's what we need. Just build a brand. Everyone, all in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dynamo?
Hector Herrera. Hector Herrera, did he spit at a ref?
Yeah, but
they cut him.
Yeah, they cut him.
Bring him back.
Yeah, bring him back.
Dylan Brooks.
I was going to say, have Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason, Amin Thompson, Azeez Al-Shaair all stand together. We stand together.
Cam Whitmore. Yeah. Just take
Jalen Petrie. We stand behind. Playing until after the whistle. We stand behind. Letting opposing players know we mean business.
You think they'll take a knee during the anthem and hold one of their fists up with a black glove on it? Solidarity with Azeez?
I guarantee you they'll make T-shirts.
I mean, they had T-shirts for Diggs.
I mean, he actually tore his ACL, but yes, I think they'll come out with Azeez Al-Shaair T-shirts, or there'll be some nod to Azeez.
Because my cause, my cleats is not over yet. What if?
I don't think they'll let you do Azeez Al-Shaair awareness.
Everyone's cause is free Azeez.
That would be a fun one. It wouldn't be the best one, but yeah. Hey, if you're leaning into being a villain.
Discipline reform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're leaning into being a villain. Can listen, the president, he's pardoning, let's just say, some folks in a manner that would be called suspicious by anyone with a brain.
Yep.
I think it is pretty interesting to pardon somebody for an 11-year period. Can they pardon Azeez Al-Shaair for how many games has it been this year? 13-game period? Can they do that? Hey, President Joe Biden, I don't think you're doing much these days. Can we pardon Azeez Al-Shaair?
Why not? Why can't we?
You got nothing better to do.
Trump was pardoning like rappers and stuff when he was leaving.
Why can't we pardon Aziz Al-Shaair? Do something, huh? You may as well. Just go have fun. Have fun with the pardoning.
Yeah. Pardon like all of his favorite sports. Pardon Joel Embiid or someone. Like just go nuts.
Embiid is pardoned by the NBA from having to play in every single game.
Yeah.
Boom. Pardon Nick Sirianni. Pardon you.
Who else needs a pardon? I would love for the NFL to get this right and to drop his suspension. I personally, Paul, don't think they're going to.
Oh.
I think
you don't think the president's going to step in here against the Hitler? I mean, the dictate. I mean, the commissioner of the National Football League.
Oh, I had never seen that hit on Derek Carr before that they just showed on TV from Aziz.
Well, listen, he had it coming.
The choking Tom Brady is.
He was asking
the
for it. He's got the eyeshadow on. He looks like a band member. He was asking for it. He looked too smoky, so he got smoked.
Just Aziz was preparing to be a Texan and taking out his frustration on the Carr family.
There you go.
That's what was happening.
There you go. Endearing himself to the people of Houston.
Yeah.
Just getting ready for it.
D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, yesterday did a 182. Like, this is before. Look, this is what we were going to start the show off with, and then Nick Caserio decided to go full wrestling heel at his press conference today, which, again, I loved. I thought it was fun. Here is D'Amico Ryans on Sunday. After the hit, it is a very different tone than what you'll hear from him in the next clip. D'Amico Ryans, right after the Texans beat the Jaguars, talking about Aziz Al-Shaair's hit.
That's not what we're coaching. It's just want to be smart in everything we do and not hurt the team, get a penalty there. We just have to be smarter when the quarterback is going down. Just an unfortunate play, not representative of who Aziz is. Like, Aziz is a smart player. Really great leader for us, and you know we felt his presence not being there, not his loss. It really affected us on the defensive side. Just not what we're coaching. I didn't want to see the melee and all of the aftermath. That's not what we're about. Just not representative of us. So I'll talk to Aziz, address him personally, and we'll move forward from it.
So you hear that after the game, and D'Amico probably didn't see the play. Because he's on the Texan sideline, and this all went down on the Jaguar sideline. So it would have been difficult. Sort of like when everyone was mad at Bill O'Brien for not seeing Tom Savage fencing during a Texans-Cardinals game, I want to say back in 2017, where like there was no way that O'Brien could have seen him. I think this is the same situation. But then D'Amico Ryans at yesterday's press conference does a complete 180, a flip-flop, whatever you want to call it.
Anything from the league office regarding a possible suspension from Aziz, and do you have anything to add on that?
No, with the entire Aziz, situation, we stand behind Aziz and everything, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback, but it's also it's twofold, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now, you're a defender. A lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy is thinking. You don't know if a guy is standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want hope Trevor is okay. But it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds. And that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks. And we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league. So we just have to be safe. And we're sliding. Make sure we're keeping our heads down. So, and the entire thing is, Aziz hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts. And it turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well. With both teams.
So he is blaming Trevor Lawrence for not getting down on the slide. He is saying, hey, the Jaguars sideline escalated this. And he's saying he stands behind Aziz Al-Shaair at the very beginning of that clip. It was quite the 180. And like Nick Caserio, he started strongly endorsing Aziz Al-Shaair's character. I do wonder if the way that D'Amico responded is a reflection of him maybe seeing the statement from John Runyon.
That's what I think.
Because, yeah, he brings up the Jaguars sideline unprompted, and to what you noticed when you read the statement for the first time, John Runyon brings up what Azeez started on the Jaguars sideline. And look, I stand with the Jaguars on this. The Jaguars defended their guy. Evan Engram came in, took him out, and a bunch of Jaguars players dragged him to their sideline and started beating his ass. You know what? Like, that's if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you're a habitual line stepper like Azeez Al-Shaair and you're right by the Jaguars sideline doing something like that, good old-fashioned street justice. It is a thing. It is a thing there. You do something like that around somebody's boys, they're going to take you out. Yeah. And I almost feel like that moment was the policing that the referees couldn't really do in that situation because a flag's not doing anything and an ejection's not really doing anything. And it is interesting that that was brought up in the statement. And I found it also very interesting that both D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are as basically close to getting fined by the NFL for saying what they said as you possibly can be. I wonder if they will get fined for this.
I would bet yes. It's the only part of the D'Amico stuff that I strongly disagree with. When you talked about the sidelines and how they reacted, I would expect the Texans to act the same way. If a player gets hit, and whether it's a slide or they're clearly out of bounds and it's a dirty hit and it's a late hit or just, you know, clear targeting, head drop down, bad play, I would like to see the Texans sidelines react the same way. I would like to see Titus Howard and these guys go to war. Like defend your guy. Don't just, they're the offensive line does it. They just watch CJ Stroud, pick himself off the dirt, 12 times a game.
I was going to say, we don't have to worry about
those
guys.
I'd rather my team be what Jacksonville did every single day of the week. So that's the only part I really disagree with D'Amico about. It's just, but I think he's only saying this because he knew what the NFL was thinking of the fight that happened, the hit that happened, the way they were going to clearly target the character of Azeez Al-Shaair, which is very, important to the Texans right now. They knew what was coming, and that's why we heard them flip the script.
Yeah, I mean, because the statement that Paul read earlier, I mean, it starts with, for the repeated actions, including on Sunday. So it is very, this is where, Nick Caserio does have a point where it's like, so he did have a lot of issues, or, issues in the NFL's eyes with how he's been promoting sportsmanship or whatever BS mumbo-jumbo they put in there and respecting the game of football or whatever. He had a bunch of issues, but it was all zero games for what he was doing earlier. Now, that one play, 3 games.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, to go 0 to 100 in that short of a span with how you're punishing these guys, again, if you're saying you respect or you're taking into account player safety, you've already adjudicated those matters by fining them. Now you can't then lump those in on a different punishment.
Did he get
fined? That's double jeopardy.
Did he get fined for punching the guy on the sideline?
Yes. I think so.
Okay, so that technically is the first penalty there. But I doubt that they said, hey, your hit of Caleb Williams on the sideline was egregious because I thought it was a legal hit. I don't know. That's just me.
Ask Caleb what he thinks.
Well,
Caleb's soft.
Caleb is from a...
Remember that controversy on whatever Friday where that, Caleb Williams talking about that hit and it's like, he is 3 feet in bounds?
It's the perfect example of what we're talking about here. Is Caleb Williams is running towards the sideline and that is my quarterback and I will support my quarterback. But he does a back juke, and he gets hit in the legs. And for him, after the game, to say, I didn't appreciate that, shut up, dude. Get out of bounds. That's your fault. If you get hurt there, just like when Azeez hits you, you're in bounds. The quarterbacks, they all want it both ways. They want to be protected, but they also want to be able to, pull a juke move whenever they want and embarrass the defenders. It can't work that way. You can't continue to just let the offensive players do whatever they want, and then when a defensive player does this, act like the world is ending. Because that's what everyone wants to act like.
To what you guys were saying earlier, though, this is the natural escalation. I don't take issue with all of a sudden a hit like that going from 0 to 100. I don't with that. It was a brutal
hit.
But
3 games?
Three is where I take issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, going from zero game suspension, a bunch of fines, to then lumping in those fines and those actions into a three-game suspension. If it was one or two, like, okay, sure. Like, this is a step above, but if you want to take in prior conduct. But to go, like, yeah, those, you know, slap on the wrist. Now we're going to lump it all in for you're missing almost a quarter of the season.
It wouldn't be enough, though. It wouldn't be enough. The people online would not have accepted anything less.
If he plays again, that's not enough.
This is 100%. And I've seen this brought up a couple of times on the text line, on YouTube, on Twitch. The NFL is 100% caving to popular opinion here, which is why I think they are so inconsistent when it comes to the suspensions that they give out. Like Ben Roethlisberger drags a girl into a bathroom stall in Milledgeville, Georgia, gets 4 games. Tom Brady gets suspended 4 games for balls that were more probably than not as inflated as they needed to be. This is the problem that I think Caserio was speaking to in terms of that. And you would think that a league would have some more chutzpah and balls here, but I do get that in a sport that is essentially entertainment, they're going to do what everyone who watches the entertainment does. You would think, like, if it was wrestling, they might, like, lean into the, like, we're not going to suspend him at all. In fact, we're going to give him Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah,
exactly. Aziz Alshayer. This, they're going to cave because they want this to go away, and they want people to stop talking about players getting absolutely killed out there.
And trying to read, like, because basically what you're saying and what I agree with is that a lot of times the NFL's punishment is kind of, like, sticking their finger up in the air, deciding which way the wind's blowing, and going with that. Like, oh, okay, people want Tom Brady suspended? Boom, throw the book at him. People don't want, you know, X, Y, Z, or people don't care about Ray Rice getting suspended before the video comes out? Oh, okay. Oh, now the video comes out, they care? Suspend him now. And they just are following, that's the tail wagging the dog when it comes to this. And you'd think that, you know, the biggest sports league in America would be able to, like, call the shots on how they want to adjudicate it, but some of it is how you become the biggest sports league in the world is that you let the fans, like, kind of lead you into how to run your league, and that's what's happening.
We saw last year Kareem Jackson got fined 3 times before he was suspended for 4 games.
Yeah,
it's like they're not even consistent with the punishment length. And you mentioned, like,
he was headhunting, by the way. I like Kareem. He was 100%.
But they let him cook for 6 weeks.
Yes.
They did.
And also, like, I that's where people, like, get upset about, like, it's not enough games. I just don't have the energy for that because the NFL is just giant hypocrites. I know you technically have to wait for the law to play out, but literally, Alvin Kamara, like, nearly beat a dude to death. He has been indicted by a grand jury, and he's out there every single week. Like,
and yeah, Ray Rice never plays again.
Like, but Aziz gets 3 games? Just, like, it's so stupid. Deshaun Watson assaulted, like, 26 women.
So that's 11 games. Again, Goodell, who I think doesn't have a very big brain, and congratulations to him on having a daddy who was a senator. This is a guy who I think just sits up in his room, and it's still the same bedroom he's lived in his whole life at Daddy Senator's house, and he has a big rotating wheel up there. And sometimes he spins the wheel because it's fun. And he sees the pretty colors, and then eventually he comes to a decision by what happens on the wheel.
You know what?
It's fun.
They would be better off just being like, you hit someone in the head, wheel of punishment.
Oh, yes.
Televise it?
Yeah, I was going to say every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
It would be fun.
We take a look at all the bad hits, and then we spin the wheel.
Yeah. You might get one game. You might get 4 games.
It'd be the chopped off his hand.
You might have to do the Oklahoma drill without a helmet on. Like, just wheel of punishment.
The thing is, like, with the NFL, like, that would become the most watched TV show on Tuesday nights. The second they do that, like, it would just be the most watched thing.
Great Tuesday programming. You're so right.
Just right after the playoff selection show, then we just roll into Punishment Hour with the NFL, hosted by Ryan Clark.
Yeah,
who goes, "Ooh, that's bad!" Every time someone hits someone,
and then you go, "Ooh, did you do that, Ryan?"
It is Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Alan Bede says, NFL fans hate Goodell, but say their sport is the best, yet they're the most profitable they've ever been. I don't understand the thought process from R-worded fans.
Okay.
Yes. No, that's
Roger Goodell is terrible at his job.
He's the most hateable, and it's fun to hate him. It's like Vince McMahon. It's just wrestling.
I mean, that's what all the commissioners do.
Yeah, man.
They're all there so you hate them and you don't hate the owners.
That's why I'm really excited. We'll talk about it at 1:45. Like, I'm really excited about something Rob Manfred's proposing. Joe, you're grimacing. It's the greatest rule that's ever been proposed.
It's the worst rule I've ever proposed.
No, what are you talking about? The Astros win another World Series if they get to use this rule. We'll talk about that at 1:45. Up next, Jameis Winston. God bless him. Just God bless him. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
That was a fun Monday night football game last night. I did not expect the over to be met by halftime. Sorry. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Did not expect that to come because holy crap. This was the most Jameis Winston performance I think that we've ever seen. From a numbers perspective. What? There was a moment in the game, I think it was early in the third quarter, where they showed his numbers and Jerry Jeudy's numbers, and they were outrageous. Winston finishes last night's game 3 yards short of 500 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. He threw 3 interceptions, 2 of which were returned for touchdowns.
Yep. So he threw 6 touchdowns yesterday.
What an experience. Before the game, Jameis's pregame speeches have become very fun for everybody. This is Jameis rallying the troops.
To get down. All right, Jameis, here we go.
Blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who endures. Today is going to be about enduring. Today is going to be about taking the tomb. All four corners, man. Come on. We can't come out and slacking. We can't come out and backing. We're going to come out and fight.
Come on.
We got to come out and fight.
Come on.
Give it all we got.
Come on.
It comes from your heart. It's got to come from your heart. I don't care. I care about the ground. See there. And part the block.
Yeah.
I care about the ground. See there.
Like, I have no idea what he said, but hell yeah, dude.
It comes from the heart?
It does.
I heard blessed is the man who endures,
yes,
which I don't think was in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know. Maybe it was.
He wasn't.
It might be not.
A lot of Beatitudes.
He wasn't talking about the Browns paying Deshaun Watson's contract, and he wasn't talking about Deshaun Watson when he was enduring an 11-game suspension.
No.
He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about something, and that something, bless his heart, the man is a very fun person to listen to. After the game, Jameis Winston, who threw 2 pick-sixes in the game, delivered probably the best line of this NFL season. Sorry, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. You are not, no matter how much of a wrestling heel you become in defense of Azeez Al-Shaair, topping this.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Play that again, please. I imagine if CJ Stroud did this.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
I will say this right now. If CJ ever says that, I'm out.
No, I think I'd be
I think only Jameis can get away with this.
I'm in.
I think only Jameis Winston can say
I feel like we've been saying the sentence, only Jameis Winston can get away with this, for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's meant a lot of different things throughout the years.
Yeah, that's the Uber driver. Definitely how
many
feels that.
How many games suspended has he had?
Did he get a 2-gamer?
I think so.
I think he did get 2 games. Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Yeah,
it's just a spinning wheel of punishment.
It's electric watching Jameis Winston play football. Every game he's in feels.
Yeah.
At least it's fun.
That was like a greatest hits of like Jameis. Like when you
ask,
like you know, 15 years when there's younger people that didn't watch Jameis Winston play, and you're like, they're like, what was it like? Just show him last night's game.
Show him the video of before the game where they've got Bo Nix twirling a football around with a serious face, showing his stats, and Jameis Winston is seemingly doing the Dirty Bird, the old Atlanta Falcons dance from the 1990s. Well, his tongue is essentially swirling around in a circle like a helicopter. He's making the kind of faces that I was making with my seven-month-old niece at Thanksgiving. It's insane.
He's a character. Maybe like an all-time character right now in the NFL. I can't wait. I'm almost disappointed they flexed that game against the Bengals out of primetime.
Should just be in primetime.
What's the Bengals defense going to do to Jameis Winston? Is he going to throw for 700 yards?
Probably a pick six.
They can't stop anybody.
Yeah, probably a pick six.
Well, you know they're going to get that too. They might give up 700 yards in the process.
If they can catch a ball to their chest, they'll get an interception.
You know, Jerry Jeudy went from 30th in the NFL in receiving yards to 5th last night.
Jerry Jeudy. Good for Jerry Jeudy too, by the way, because that's his old team. Now
and
they
then
lost.
He told Sean Payton after the game, I'll be back soon. What does that mean? Is he going back to the Broncos next year?
Possibly.
Is he a Bo Lever?
We will see. I'm glad that on the broadcast that the Monday Night Football guys, who really say it like it is, said something that we were all saying while Kevin Stefanski was gaslighting us about how Deshaun Watson gives Cleveland a better chance to win. I know that the Browns lost last night, but Jameis Winston had more yards in the first half, I think, than Watson had over a four-week span. Here is Troy Aikman, Joe Buck.
Yes, he's the reigning coach of the year, but this has been a disappointing season. But these guys are still playing for him. They're playing on defense, they're playing on offense, and they're giving Denver a game here tonight.
You know, this is a tough league, and we all talk about parity, but when it comes to your hometown team, nobody wants to hear it. And Kevin Stefanski is an outstanding football coach, and he's proven that. Two-time coach of the year. What he did to that group last year to get them in the postseason, they started four quarterbacks. They were decimated with injuries, and I get it. You know, this year hasn't been what people thought coming in, but the albatross is Deshaun Watson. That, you know, if you go to Jameis Winston earlier in the year, does this look different? Because I would say the defensive struggles in at least a small part have had to do with how inept the offense has been moving the football. I think it's affected the defensive play as well.
100%. I can't believe that they waited this long until Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles to take him out back old Yeller style. Jeez, can't speak. And just replace him. I can't believe that they waited that long. And I mean, you're Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, two-time coach of the year. But you knew you had to do something there. Did Browns ownership get in the way? I think that's what everyone believes.
Yeah, and I know Kevin Stefanski kept saying that like it was his decision. And then their GM said the same thing, that we stand by Kevin Stefanski. I do not believe that, ever. There's no way a coach willingly puts out that bad of a quarterback. That's ownership top down. The fact that Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston were better options than your fully guaranteed quarterback is, it says more about Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun can't be the quarterback next year.
No.
I don't think he can be on the team next year. Because if he's on the team, it probably feels like you have to play him because of his contract.
If the NFL suspending Azeez Al-Shaair for three games, can the NFL suspend Deshaun Watson from our eyeballs? Like, I mean, what Deshaun Watson's doing to football when he's healthy is definitely more disrespectful than what Azeez Al-Shaair did to Trevor Lawrence and to other players this season.
That is a great idea.
Can we suspend bad players? We just suspend them.
Like Daniel Jones.
You suspend them with pay, you know?
Aiden O'Connell.
Just say, like, we...
Tommy DeVito.
Mason Rudolph, he was asking for it for Myles Garrett with his play. People get mad at me saying that all the time.
That would have been very funny if they suspended both Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
Like, Mason, listen, you sucked.
Listen, it was a primetime game.
We don't even know if you said something, but we tend to believe you did because we don't want to watch you play anymore. That would be fun.
I'd be all for that. Suspending players because they stink.
Yeah. Just like, Get this guy out of the You're ruining the NFL product.
Yeah.
by playing.
They may as well let Führer Goodell do, you know, all the things that a dictator would. And you know, absolute power, it certainly comes with great responsibility. He has a responsibility to save us, the consumer, from Deshaun Watson going forward.
A Bryce Young suspension would have worked. He got benched and then he comes back and he's pretty good.
We might have to have a, just for the hell of it, CJ versus Bryce Young conversation. It's a bye week.
Can we either do it tomorrow or...
We will do it tomorrow.
With DJ.
Do you think it'll trigger DJ?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Definitely will trigger DJ.
I was going to say, DJ, that is a classic DJ going, no.
He might be listening on the way in, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We probably have to talk about him witnessing Nick Caserio becoming self-aware.
I thought him also witnessing the Aziz Alshayer hit and how he's taking it.
That's
72
true.
Hours later.
I think he's
still shaking up.
I think most Houston Texans reporters seem to be on Alshayer's side, and I based that off of a question DJ asked at yesterday's press conference. Anyway, all that in a moment. I'm really excited about something that could be coming to baseball. Joe's shaking his head. He just doesn't understand ball the way I do. You know, America's pastime. It's in the past as far as entertainment value, relevance. And honestly, I am here for anything that helps our beloved Houston Astros out, especially considering once you get past the first couple of guys in the lineup, especially in the playoffs, it's difficult. It's difficult for them at the plate. So I want to give Rob Manfred some credit here with a rule proposal that I think can save the game the same way that the pitch clock did. Major League Baseball, piggybacking off of a World Series with record ratings, is considering a new rule. It's called the Golden At-Bat, as explained on Puck Podcast with John Orant. The commissioner of baseball is on a hockey podcast? I don't know. Whatever. What if a team could choose one at-bat in every game to send its best hitter to the plate, even if it wasn't that guy's turn to hit? That's the Golden At-Bat concept in a nutshell. Say there are two outs in the 10th inning in October. The Yankees, why the Guardians as an example? The Yankees and Astros are tied. Does this ring a bell at all? But in this alternate October universe, it's not Kyle Tucker who is due up. It's a worse than Kyle Tucker. It's Martin Maldonado, who the Astros have just brought back into the fold. But the Astros say, no, no, no. We're going to use our Golden At-Bat here. And they don't send up Kyle Tucker. They send up Jose Altuve. Then home run magic happens. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? The Golden Bat rule is being floated by Rob Manfred. A lot of people are asking for it. And I agree with Rob Manfred. I am asking for this.
Who's asking for this?
I am asking for
Why?
It.
Why?
Because it would be awesome.
It's so stupid.
Why is it stupid? Why is it stupid to put your best batter into a situation where your best batter can save you?
That's not how baseball's played.
Well, it could be played like that.
It shouldn't be.
That's the point of the rule change.
This is participation trophy crap.
How is it participation trophy? You're not going to get a participation trophy for getting an...
This is Little League Baseball. Everyone has to take an at-bat.
No, it's not in Little League Baseball, and honestly, it should be in Little League Baseball. The Golden At-Bat rule.
I despise this idea. This is not how you...
Because you hate fun.
This is not how you fix baseball.
This is a way.
No. There's so much better ways to fix baseball.
Like what?
I don't know. Not this.
Exactly.
This is stupid.
You have no solutions to save a dying game and a dying sport.
I don't think this fixes
attendance
it.
Attendance numbers at Daycon Field with the new air conditioning. Oh, wait. There's no new air conditioning.
What at bat a game
it's gonna
fixes
plummet.
Baseball?
What happens when the Astros run is over? Don't you want something like this to potentially keep them around? I do.
All right. If they're going to do it, a couple rules here. They have to use a golden bat. Right.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Like, that's the number one rule, agreed. Right? Like,
that ball's going to hit by a gold bat.
Literally has to be golden.
I was going to say, however you feel about this, I think we can all agree the name of the rule change is excellent. When they say we have the golden at bat rule, you're like, I'm interested.
Okay, when I saw the headline, I was like, huh. Yeah. What's this going to be?
Golden at bat. Okay.
And then I read it, and I was like, this idiot doesn't know how baseball's played. But, like, fine. So if they're going to do it, it should count for more than one run also.
Oh, if there's, I love it. Multiplier.
If there's two guys on base, golden bat, multiplier.
It's a 2X.
Yes.
2X at bat.
And, like, it's like the stupid onside kick rules now where you have to tell someone it's happening. It can only be, though, when you're down. So, like, the Astros are down 8-0. Bases are loaded. Jordan Alvarez can tie the game 8-8.
Yeah.
With one hit.
That's a great idea, Joe.
So, if you're going to do it, you have to go, like, see, it's a stupid rule.
No, you're throwing these out there because you know that none of these will be made. I think this is a great idea.
I'm making it better, okay?
Yeah, this is
a mini golf. If you're going to do it, I'm telling you, you go so over the top, it literally changes the game completely.
I love it. It would. It fundamentally changes the game. I think you move the outfields in. 50 feet in every single ballpark. And, yeah, golden at-bat rule.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Robert Manfred's going to do, like, the 16-inch softball rules where you're not allowed to hit a certain amount of home runs.
Well, that's a great idea. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Limit home runs.
How about a rule where, like, at the Savannah Bananas game, the Savannah Bananas, they sold out at Minute Maid Park. How about a rule like at the Savannah Bananas game where if a fan catches a ball in their glove or in their hands, it's an out.
Okay. Yeah. What if they catch it in their beer, though? Two outs? If they use the beer cup and the ball lands in the beer cup? We've seen it happen before. I think that has to be two outs, though.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
If you're going to do it, if you're going to make your sport a gimmick, go all the way in.
It's not a gimmick, though. This is a good rule change.
This is a bad rule change.
Why is it a bad rule change?
It's just not how you don't fundamentally change the sport.
This doesn't fundamentally change it. It just adds one golden at-bat a game.
What
just
if,
one. It's just one.
Okay. Yordan Alvarez has a 9-pitch at-bat and walks. Does he just get to bat again?
Yeah.
I mean.
Use a golden at-bat for the. That would be really funny if you could intentionally walk a golden at-bat.
See, if you're going to do the golden at-bat rule, no intentional walks. Funny. That has to be a rule, right? Because then the rule's stupid. So,
on a serious note, this is an idiotic rule change, but I just enjoy it. I enjoy the chaos.
All it does is it validates. I love baseball. And all it does is validate you, Paul. It just validates you.
They're trying to.
The sport is dead.
They're trying to keep me around. And I'm like, I'm already out. But
the sport is dead.
You're going to ruin it to appease me. Go for it. Go ahead.
Like, when you're starting to come up with this level of gimmick, like, these are, like, XFL gimmicks.
This is an XFL
rule. It really is.
This is an XFL really is. Rule. That's kind of why I like it, too.
Yeah, but, like, you're literally acknowledging, you're literally telling the world, our sport sucks. 9 guys bat. Okay, well, then, maybe, what if we, let's fix it. Let's make it even better. Not everyone has to bat. If the Astros' best players are 1-5... That's your lineup.
Or they
just bat over
like
and over
it.
And over.
Or two DHs.
Okay.
Pitcher doesn't have to bat, and then you can choose like, another position player that
Jake
doesn't
Myers,
have to bat.
He's a bum.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Glove over.
At times.
Or you know, back in the day, Martin Maldonado. You don't have to at bat. You don't have to bat today. We'll, John Singleton or whoever.
Jose Altuve bats 9 times. And you know what?
Ghost runners?
The games will go a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Right? They'll go a lot quicker.
Yeah, 9
because Jose Altuve is you could throw theoretically a 27 pitch perfect game if Altuve has 27 at bats over the course of a game.
Or he might hit 27 home runs in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
If they're gonna do something like this, literally just take the bad hitters out of the lineup. Just say
yeah, I like that.
Everyone's lineup can be as many or as little amount of players as you want.
I mean
Virginia Buttonweed with the idea golden bat should be a T-ball stand. I love it. We're really thinking of ways to save the game.
I mean, if you do think about it, how different would baseball lineups look if it was all mashers? Where it's like, all these guys are Kyle Schwarber. None of them have to play defense.
Okay, fine. Then I'll fix baseball for you.
No one plays defense at all.
Let them put steroids in their bodies.
I see, but yeah, that's
baseball,
a serious change.
Come
fixed.
On. No.
No.
Ridiculous.
I say get rid
wrong.
Of...
You're wrong. Baseball's
health.
Fixed. Let them take
health
steroids. Sammy Sosa's fine. He's changed colors. Whatever. Mark McGuire's fine.
Pepto-Bismol color.
Barry Bonds is fine. They're not dead. Like, they're living.
How about this?
Still with
bring
them.
Steroids back. Baseball fixed.
No. That won't fix it. Here's an idea. Baseball, like Top Golf. So there's no fielders. None at all.
But giant painted circles?
Yeah.
And you got to get it in those circles if you're going to put it in play.
Okay, wait.
Baseball Topgolf.
Side note, that sounds like a great business idea.
It actually would.
Yeah, that would be a lot. I know there's home run dugout, but like that sounds more fun.
You could do that at a Topgolf, literally. Yeah. You just put a tee inside the...
You know what's funny? I actually think that's...
Bring your own tee and baseball bat?
Yeah, man.
Do that. Yeah.
They're doing golf now. Minute Maid's coming up here soon.
Well, that's fun.
Wait.
Sounds like better
it's
than
like
baseball.
You can like buy tickets to like be up on top and...
Oh,
they're turning Minute Maid into Topgolf.
I remember seeing this.
Or Daikin Field into Topgolf. Sorry.
They're turning baseball into golf. It's baseball's biggest fear. There's too much golf in my baseball.
Yeah.
That is funny that we're making you know how to really jazz up baseball, make it more like golf.
Yeah. Lowest score wins.
Oh. Astros swept the Tigers.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, it's Galana George. He's Joe and Paul. We got shot behind the glass. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Aziz Alshire suspended 3 games by the National Football League. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.